my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me the hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger. Woo!
Hey, friends. Welcome to episode 301 of my 1-2-3 cents, the podcast, and admittedly, procrastination and a busy week at work and some extra obligations that I faced over the weekend that I don't typically have to worry about or deal with all kind of caught up with me. And so this is kind of a best of in an effort, not really a best of. I'm repurposing a video interview that I have on my YouTube channel, which, by the way, 900 subscribers right now on the My 1-2-3 Cents YouTube. Once we get to 1,000, it's good things for the My 1-2-3 Cents brand. And I appreciate those of you who have already subscribed. And I also want to talk for a second, and I'm getting sidetracked here, but I need to get all my plugs in before I get to the meat of the episode. I do want to thank everyone who has checked out my TikTok. My most recent, or one of my most recent TikToks, is the video of my daughter being power slammed by Roger Mathis of Stride Pro Wrestling. This happened 2 years ago, but I just posted it on TikTok and put a funny song with it, and it blew up, and I had no idea that it was going to catch on like it did. And I'm saying this as a thank you, not as a humble brag, although it's coming off that way. But I truly am grateful for everyone who has supported the My 1-2-3 Cents brand, whether it's on the blog, whether it's on the podcast, the YouTube channel, or now kind of venturing into TikTok and Instagram and other forms of social media. And in a couple of weeks, I'll be doing more about probably next week, we'll talk more about the My 1-2-3 Cents brand and its upcoming birthday and some things that are going to be going on with that. So stay tuned for next week's episode, and we'll kind of detail some things that are happening, some exciting things, some fun things that are going on. But, you know, the really cool thing about doing this podcast and doing taking the decision to make it all wrestling related. And I've actually been bouncing some other ideas, but I'm not going to implement or go into all that right now. But, you know, for many, many years, and I've talked about it a lot on this show, I was a TV news anchor. And that afforded me some opportunities that I never in my younger life would have ever thought would have been possible. And that was meeting a lot of professional wrestlers. And I think one of these days I'll do a breakdown and talk more in detail about some of the men and women from wrestling that I've met because of my job. And those conversations and those meetings are obviously much cooler than I enjoy going to the photo ops and doing the, you know, like WrestleMania Access or WrestleCon or when, you know, there are events where you get to do the meet and greets. Those are fun, but usually the conversation is very brief. It's a quick handshake, it's a hello, and it's a photograph. When I was able to set up interviews, and I've done actually quite a few, again, check out the My 1-2-3 Cents YouTube channel. Subscribe if you haven't already, and click on the Wrestling Interviews playlist. And there are several that you will find there with Hall of Famers and, you know, men and women who are still involved and active in the ring as well. So one opportunity came along in 2006, and then it repeated itself in 2012, and that was to meet and interview the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. And kind of the backstory on the interview or interviews is in 2006, he had gone to a church service in Mount Vernon, Illinois, everybody knows DiBiase's story, I would imagine by now, of him finding his faith, becoming a born-again Christian, and rededicating his life to Jesus Christ. So he had spoken at a church in Mount Vernon on a Sunday morning, and Chad was actually still living in Southern Illinois at the time. He and I made the trek up to Mount Vernon and met him. And, I am going to admit that first meeting with him, he seemed rushed. I'm not sure what the circumstances were around him being there, or, if he had other things to get to, or if he had, but everything just seemed kind of boom, boom, boom. He did a great, testimonial or when he got up and spoke and talked to everyone. And then the afterward, I had talked with the church and they had made arrangements for me to do an interview. But again, it was kind of quick. It was short and sweet. And this was before my 1-2-3 cents was even a thought. So I did not save that interview. It was recorded and broadcast on the TV station because this was happening around Christmas time. And I knew that I needed extra content because things get lean and mean during the holiday season in the news business. So I ended up using it for that. And then it kind of went away and I was never able to find it and archive it or hold on to it, which I regret. But in 2012, Million Dollar Man returned kind of to the region in Sykeston, Missouri, which is about an hour and a half away from here. And a buddy of mine from college, Brad Acock, was the worked at the church that DiBiase was coming to. And Brad was a huge wrestling fan back in college, just as I was. And he knew of my fandom, and he knew of that I had the podcast. I didn't have the podcast yet, but he knew I had the YouTube channel. And he invited me to come down and interview Ted DiBiase. And it was awesome. Again, went and listened to him speak again. And he's a great speaker. If he's ever in your area and you have an opportunity to go and listen to him speak, it is definitely worth, everything I've been to didn't cost anything. It was a church service, but it's worth the price of admission, as they say. He stuck around afterward. And again, I don't have a bunch of expensive or fancy or cool equipment. I had my iPad. I flipped it, I had the little stand for it and set it up, and we did it kind of on a two shot. And then I was able to edit it and kind of focus in on him. It was down and dirty as it gets, but he was so grateful He was so gracious. I was so grateful. With his time, and it's not a long interview. You're going to hear it here in just a few minutes. So again, it's 2012. So things are dated to some degree, where he talks about, what he's currently doing and what his son, Ted DiBiase Jr. was up to. He was still, of course, a big part of the WWE at that point. So I apologize for kind of being so far behind this week. It just was one of those weeks that caught up with me. But, I am kind of digging into the Ted DiBiase archive because it is SummerSlam weekend as I record this. And of course, Ted DiBiase was in the main event of the very first SummerSlam. He and Andre the Giant, the Mega Bucks, taking on the Mega Powers of Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant. And I don't want to say I always liked Ted DiBiase, because when he was the Million Dollar Man and he was doing those things at that time, because I was a huge Hulkamaniac, he was one of those guys that I loved to hate. But, he became, in my opinion, as I think about it, and I think if you really give guys their just due, obviously Rowdy Roddy Piper was the greatest foil ever, again, in my opinion, for Hulk Hogan when it came to that ultimate bad guy, that that feud that went on back in the mid 80s was phenomenal. And then when he was gone and out of the picture, Ted DiBiase was great, because he was coming in and trying to buy the championship and all the dastardly things he did leading up to the main event in February of 1988, when Andre beats Hulk Hogan, surrenders the title. Ted DiBiase is the champion for a second, or so it seemed. And then, of course, he gets stripped of it. We get the huge WrestleMania 4 tournament. you know, I often wonder, what if they would have gone in another direction and put the belt on Ted DiBiase? Would it have been, how would wrestling history have changed had that happened? I don't think Macho Man Randy Savage, of course, was a phenomenal superstar, but I don't know that he would have exploded like he did when they put the belt on him and was, you know, kind of Hogan's fill-in of sorts. I just feel like Ted DiBiase sometimes gets overlooked and slept on in terms of his greatness with WWF at that time. And even before that, you know, in the UWF and the areas, the territories, the NWA, and there was talk of him being the NWA champion at one time. You know, the WrestleMania main event at WrestleMania 4 was really the closest he was ever going to get to winning that championship, although he and Hogan had a series of matches that fall leading up to that as well. Just a phenomenal talent and someone that I think is on my short list of guys who should have and very well could have been the WWF heavyweight champion. But, you know, of course, during that era of wrestling, Vince McMahon was really focused on having the good guys hold the big belt, and that's understandable. It worked out. You know, we're 30 plus years removed from that big boom of pro wrestling, of sports entertainment, if you will, and, you know, Vince McMahon is still standing, and his company is still standing, and, you know, 32 years later, we're still doing SummerSlam. So something obviously went right with the, you know, the plan, and we don't have to agree with everything that happens, but Ted DiBiase, such an integral role in that very first SummerSlam, you know, the memories, the fondness that I have for him, getting to see him get inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame in 2010, you know, and I've actually interviewed his son, Ted Jr., as well, again, a TV station project that I had done. So Ted DiBiase, one of the all-time greats. Again, I'm not saying that he is, you know, Rowdy Piper, all-time favorite Hulk Hogan opponent, villain, if you will. But I would put Ted DiBiase probably, if I had to sit down and really go over it and think about it, I would put him, you know, Andre the Giant, Macho Man Randy Savage, Million Dollar Man, Ric Flair. I mean, it's those rivalries that really, in my opinion, kind of defined the 80s in terms of wrestling and in terms of WWF wrestling. And that was, you know, a phenomenal period of time, I think, that shouldn't be overlooked. So stay tuned. Again, Ted DiBiase is coming up. I do want to do a couple of other quick cheap plugs here for Stride Pro Wrestling, of course, strideprowrestling.com. You can go to the YouTube channel. We have several shows now that we have put together, and I'm proud of the work that has gone into the shows behind the scenes and the finished product, the talent in the ring, everyone's stepping up. And Tyler and I are going to be talking more about Stride here in the very near future on an upcoming podcast. We've got a couple of ideas and projects that we're working on, so be sure to stick around for more on those things that are going on with the Stride product as well. I also want to remind folks to check out Chad Smart over at Positive Cynicism. He is the PCPN. He's doing and focusing all about positivity for the month of August, which I think we could all honestly use right now. So I appreciate his efforts and his friendship for the last several years. Also, check out JitteryMonkey.com. Greg Mahochko, the founder of our network here, is also the host of the Power Half Hour with Chad Smart. He also is the host of Nerds United with Mike Luther. So check those out. Our friends in Cape Girardeau with Podzilla 1985, the Skull Brothers, the Skullbuster Wrestlecast out of Minnesota. So they're doing a great job as well. And anyone else that you know, find those indie podcasters, if you will, those smaller, you know, we're not making any money at this, but we're doing it. It's our passion. It's fun. And we enjoy it. So I, again, appreciate all the support through the years, coming up on a decade here very soon. And I'm excited. And we'll have more announcements about that coming up shortly as well. So, friends, Thanks again. Stay tuned. The Million Dollar Man is coming up right after this.
Do you want to grab some Stride Pro Wrestling swag? Pro Wrestling Tees is the place to be. You can purchase a shirt anytime, and a portion of the proceeds goes to support the men and women of Stride Pro Wrestling. Head over to prowrestlingtees.com/my123cents and purchase your shirt now.
It's his way.
WWE Hall of Famer and legend, the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, who is here today in Sykeston, Missouri, with a very important mission. And when you do these kinds of church visits and talks, and I've seen you before in Mount Vernon, Illinois, a couple years ago, what are you hoping that the people in the audience walk away with?
Faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, the basic what I do and what I am is an evangelist, so the ministry of evangelism is sharing the good news, the gospel, and basically, I mean, to wrap it up in a nutshell, I try to demonstrate to people the futility of living life as the world sees it, meaning if you make a lot of money and you're successful and you're powerful and rich and all that other stuff, you'll have all you need, and that's what everybody should shoot for. That's a lie. Because I know a lot of people like that who are absolutely miserable. As a matter of fact, it's a proven fact that 95%+ of the people that hit the lotto end up worse off than they were before.
Yeah.
Basically, I demonstrated through the experiences of my own life, because I had all that stuff, and I had a beautiful wife and wonderful kids, but there was no peace in my life. And the void has to be filled. Some filled with drugs, alcohol, pornography, gambling, golf. I mean, there's some tame things that people will just, you know, there's all kinds of addiction. You know, mm-hmm. we think about the hardcore stuff, but there are a lot of things that control people's lives. But when I really became a Christian, when I really surrendered in terms of saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow your will and your way. I fully believe that my wife would be gone. I expected, in other words, I didn't do this as a, like, okay, God, if you'll save my marriage, you know, like I'll follow you forever.
Sure.
It wasn't that. It was, you know, my God, I made a mess of my life, you know, and I finally realized that all the stuff, it doesn't fill. Mm-hmm. It's not fulfilling. You know, Vince McMahon, you know, God bless him for all he's done for wrestling and everything. You know, he's a workaholic. And I mean, the guy gets like 4 hours of sleep a night, and I don't think he has a faith in God, you know, and it's just a shame because, you know, Vince will die one day and it's like, or he'll come to that place where he'll go, man, I mean, you talk about the guy that busts his rear end. I mean, it's 24/7, you know, and a lot of big CEOs and guys like him are the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to come to a place one day where they go, what was it all worth?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like I was totally absorbed with work. Now, obviously, he loves the work, but, you know, it's like, you know, you come to a place where it's like, is that it? Is that all life has to offer? And, you know, and again, if you don't have Christ, then, you know, you don't have much to look forward to.
The business has obviously changed a lot through the years. Your son is now an active member in the WWE. Do you still have a tie there? Do you have a connection where you are ministering to these young men and women about the dangers and the pitfalls that you yourself experience?
I went back to work for them, actually, in 05 and 06 behind the scenes, and it was something I struggled with. I didn't want to. Felt like God said, sphere of influence, go.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took them a year and a half to figure out that what I told them initially was true. I'm not a creative guy.
Mm-hmm.
I can do me.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to really love that. You have to be passionate about that to, you know, sit around thinking 24 hours a day about wrestling. And but in the time that I was there, I took the opportunities when they presented themselves. But I didn't just go like, oh, okay, who am I going to go to today? Mm-hmm. Not like that. But with that said, I have petitioned a little bit, a couple of people in the WWE, and said, look, I said, you know, I'm not asking for a salary, but every other sports entity has a chaplain. And I said, you know, irregardless of what you believe, mm-hmm. it's not going to hurt, especially the image of the company.
Sure.
You know, for you to have a chaplain. So they are considering that right now. As a matter of fact, a couple people said they really like the idea. And it would probably amount to me showing up like once a month at a pay-per-view mm-hmm. and making myself available sure. and then by phone. And that's what I said. I said, who would these kids rather go to? Some shrink or somebody that's been down that road?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. Last question for you. I know you're busy. Your favorite memory, wrestling-wise, what moment kind of stood out to you in your career?
Well, you know, you wrestle so many times, it's hard to pick one, mm-hmm. you know. The first major main event that I ever had, when I wrestled Harley Race at the Kiel Auditorium, I think it was 79. I'm bad with years. It might have been 80. But, you know, it was a capacity crowd. It was and one of the best, up to that time, one of the best single payoffs that I ever got. And, mm-hmm. But it also kind of, if you got over in St. Louis, the rest of the wrestling world is going to hear about you.
Yeah.
You know, and then it was kind of like that, put my name out there for everybody. And it wasn't too long. I think it was 79 because it wasn't too long after that I went to New York. And I went to New York in 79. And matter of fact, I went, 79. And I left New York in December of 79. The last match I had in New York was at the Garden with some young guy that nobody had ever seen before named Hulk Hogan.
Awesome.
And other than I guess the other moment, a really big significant moment in wrestling, mm-hmm. and for me because I was a part of it, a big part of it, was after WrestleMania 3, mm-hmm. I was introduced like in the spring, and then by the time we got to November, December, I had been doing all my stuff, you know, shouting to the world that I could buy anything. And so the angle that they shot was the setup for WrestleMania 4, Market Square Arena, Saturday night main event. And it was the first time that wrestling had been on national live network television since the 50s.
Yeah.
And it was the rematch between Andre and Hogan. And, of course, that was the main event, but the story was me.
Yeah.
And that I was going to hire him, and then what they did with having the twin referee run out, and I'll never forget Hogan standing there, you know, and he's got both those guys, and he pulls one, and he looks at him, and he pushes him back, and he picks the other one, and he looks at him, and he pushes him back, and he looks in the camera like he's dumbfounded. But that kind of, that set the stage for WrestleMania 4, but it was a really significant moment for wrestling, and I was a major part of it.
I hate to admit it, I cried that night. I was a Hulkamaniac at the time, but through the years, I have come to appreciate you as honestly one of the top guys who never really got that World Heavyweight Championship, but definitely, in my opinion, deserve it. And one more thing, and I just wanted to show you this. This was the year you got inducted in the Hall of Fame. My friend and I went as Money, Inc. We go to WrestleMania every year and dress up. So, yeah, we were pretty goofy there.
That's cool.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.